This is 2008, Srila Prabhupada's auspicious Vyasa Puja ceremony, and I want to discuss something about the first two Vyasa Puja offerings that Srila Prabhupada himself offered to his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. These two offerings that Prabhupada wrote, or actually wrote and spoke, were given 1936 in February, and they were spoken in Bombay. So we can see that actually Prabhupada's whole career of publishing began with these two offerings to his guru. Prabhupada began his publishing career of publishing Bhagavad Darshan and Back to Godhead, An Easy Journey to Other Planets, paperback, and then hardbound, Srimad Bhagavatam, and all Chaitanya Charitamrita, and all the wonderful, glorious books that Srila Prabhupada translated and commented on, printed on. They all began, all that printing and all that vast empire of BBT, it all began in 1936 in Bombay, in February, at the Gaudiya Math. And probably his whole publishing career began with his Vyasa Puja offerings in Bombay. So his publishing career began with glorification as Guru, and it began in Bombay. And it's just interesting to note that the headquarters for the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust for all of India, or practically East Asia, is Bombay. In Juhu Beach, Prabhupada's International Center, this is the headquarters for the India Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, although there are other book trusts in Allahabad and Calcutta and Mayapur, etc. But Bombay is by far the largest trust and the biggest publisher of English, especially English-speaking books in Hindi and other South Indian languages, Maharashtrian, etc. So I'm saying that Prabhupada's whole book publishing began in Bombay, because it was here in Bombay in February 1936 that Prabhupada went to the local Gaudiya Math. Prabhupada was a Grihastha. He was initiated by the founder of the Gaudiya Math in 1933 at Rupa Goswami Gaudiya Math in Allahabad. Prabhupada was initiated by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And this was 3 years later. A little background information. Prabhupada's chemical business, Prayag Pharmacy in Allahabad, was not doing very well. So he turned it over to Dr. Kartik Bose, whom he was working for in Bengal Chemicals. And Prabhupada sent off to Bombay by himself. He left his wife Radharani and his children back in Allahabad, and he went forth pioneering in Bombay to start a new chemical business and a whole new distribution outlet. And our Srila Prabhupada was very happy. Of course, then he was known as Abhay Charan Aravindan, Abhay Charan Day, or Abhay Charan Das. When Prabhupada signed his offering, he signed it Abhay Charan Das. Although in the Lilamrita it said he was given the initiation name Abhay Charan Aravindam, the fearless lotus feet Das. But his Janam name was Abhay Charan Day. And he was always finally known to all of us as Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Abhay Charan Aravindam. But Prabhupada, when he went to Bombay, he met his old friends from the Gaudiya Math, the very famous and illustrious Bhakti Rakshak, Sridhardev Goswami, and Bhakti Saranga Goswami. And he made friendship with them, or he already had friendship, but they made a team, because Prabhupada had a lot of chemical contacts from his chemical business, his pharmaceutical business. He had a lot of businesses and contacts. So he would introduce, they would go on a threesome. Bhakti Saranga Goswami Maharaj, Bhakti Rakshak Sridhardev, and Abhay Charan Aravindam Das, or Abhay Charan Das, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada would line up the appointments and introduce the Swamis. And then Bhakti Rakshak Sridhardev Goswami, he would give the lecture, because he was very philosophically astute and quite learned, being a Gaudiya Vaishnava Brahmin from birth and quite a scholar of Sanskrit, etc. He would give the lecture, And then Bhakti Saranga Goswami Maharaj, he would close the deal. He would collect the donation or do the final part. So it was a three-part harmony. And they all worked together to collect funds to start the first temple of the Gaudiya Math, which was on, I believe it was Grant Road in Bombay. And it was there that they held a Vyasa Puja ceremony in 1936, and Prabhupada went there, and he spoke a poem, Sri Vyasa Puja offering, in glorification of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and R. Srila Prabhupada signed it Abhay Charan Das. Then he also wrote prose or a long essay, Sri Vyasa Puja homage, and both of these were published in March issue of the Harmonist, volume 32 of the English Harmonist magazine, which was published on March 4th, 1936. And at that time, the editor-in-chief, of course, was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, but the acting editor was Bhakti Pradeep Tirtha Swami. When he saw Prabhupada's offering, he gave, informally, he said, "Oh, our Abhay is a Kavi, he's a Kaviraj, he's a great poet. He's a great poet." So several times in public, the editor of the Harmonist said, "Oh, we have our great poet amongst us, Abhay Charan." Of course, we all know that Prabhupada, being a pure Vaishnava, has all the 26 qualities of devotee in full. And one of those qualities is a poet. Devotee is very poetic, very expert at beautifully and skillfully conveying concepts and feelings through the medium of words. And Prabhupada was expert in the spoken word, and even more expert, it seems, in the written word, especially in the English language. Although it was his second language, Bengali being his first, he showed immense proficiency in speaking and writing English. So he wrote these offerings in February, and they were submitted, they were spoken, he spoke them, he stood up in the evening program in Grant Road at the Gaudiya Math, and he delivered this poem, which everyone appreciated, and especially a lecture. And Prabhupada's lecture, which was more like an essay on Guru Tattva, Prabhupada quoted 15 different verses, 15 shlokas from Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Katha Upanishad, Shweta Shvatura Upanishad, Chandogya Upanishad, so many Upanishads. And many of these shlokas that Prabhupada spoke in his offering, his Sri Vyasa Puja homage in 1936, they became favorite verses of Srila Prabhupada, which he was using extensively 30 years later, in 1966 and onward, after forming the ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So back in 1936, Prabhupada was very familiar with verses like Yasyat Mabuti Kunape Tridadake, Yastideve Para Bhaktir Yatadeve Tatagoro, Mahajana Yena Katasya Panta, Tadvigatam Sagurum Evabi Gachet. All these verses which we heard so many times from Srila Prabhupada during his years of ISKCON, he was already quite well versed in these. So in a short article, well, not an article, it actually is a speech which was written down and then submitted for the publication, Harmonist. But in a short article, Prabhupada quoted 15 different verses. Practically every two or three paragraphs of his speech was ornamented with some very important and relevant Sanskrit shloka. When Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati read or received these offerings, they were sent to him in Puri at the time. He himself was celebrating his last Vyasa Puja in 1936 in his center in Jagannath Puri, which is, I think, the Purushottam Gaudiya Math, or the Chatak Parvat Gaudiya Math, which is right near Todagopinath, on the Chatak Parvat sand dunes, which is a hilly region just next to Todagopinath Mandir, near the ocean at Jagannath Puri. Very lonely, calm, and beautiful place. Always a nice breeze blowing there, many trees. So that was one of the temples and one favorite bhajan stali of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He considered that Chatak Parvat to be Govardhan Hill, not different from Govardhan Hill, which is the same realization that Mahaprabhu had in his ecstatic bliss after seeing Gopinath, he took the Chatak Parvat, hailed to be Giriraj and Govardhan. He was running madly across the sand dunes, chanting, Krishna, 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 Krishna. So when Bhaktisanta Saraswati received these wonderful Vyasa Puja poem and prose offerings from Abhay Charan Das, our Srila Prabhupada, he particularly noted one stanza of Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja offering, which has become famous in ISKCON for generations. Probably everyone's heard this verse, and most followers of Srila Prabhupada have it memorized. But this is from his famous Sri Vyasa Puja offering, 1936. Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved. Impersonal calamity, thou hast moved. This gives us a life, anew and fresh. Worship thy feet, your divine grace. So Bhaktisananda Saraswati liked this stanza very much, and he would often quote it to and show it to all his guests. When guests would come and visit him, he'd say, oh, look what my disciple has written. He has perfectly captured my mood to establish the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, amidst this world of impersonalism and Mayavad philosophy. So he really liked this. It touched his heart. And of course, these were the only two Vyasa Puja offerings that were ever published in The Harmonist. And with the publishing of these two offerings of Srila Prabhupada, this began Srila Prabhupada's eternal fame and career or activity of publishing the transcendental glories of Guru, Guranga, and Radha and Krishna for the benefit of humanity. In the original offering, which is mentioned, some of this offering of Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja homage is selectively quoted in Lilamrita in Volume 1, A Lifetime in Preparation. There are a few paragraphs quoted on pages 84, at least in my book it's in 83, 84, and 85. But the Sanskrit verses are not included there. And it's not, the entire offering is not included there. It was such a wonderful offering. And we thought on this day we'd like to share it with all of you that have gathered here to glorify Srila Prabhupada by simply repeating his own offerings and try to deeply enter into the meaning. In the Harmonist magazine, which was published in English in 1936, March 13th, which ran these two articles of Prabhupada, Vyasa Puja offerings, the verses are there, the Prabhupada's offering, which he spoke in the Gaudiya Math, an evening program, his prose offering or his essay, the verse, it's written in English, and then whenever there's a verse, the verse is simply written in Hindi. It's not telling the number of the verse, although it's telling the source, generally, but not always. Usually tells the source, such as Bhagavad Gita, but it doesn't tell the number. So we've looked up the numbers, and then we'll mention that what number shloka it is, because all these verses which Prabhupada are using here to explain Guru Tattva are very important, and we should actually memorize them and know them for our own understanding of Guru and for our own worship of Guru and for our preaching about the science of Guru Parampara, Guru Shishya, Sambandha, and preaching the science of Guru and explaining what is the identity of Guru. So we'll be citing those 15 verses with their sources in the context of repeating Prabhupada's offering. So we'd like to begin by reading Prabhupada's poetry, homage. This is called Shri Vyas Puja Offering. Adore, adore ye all. The happy day, blessed than heaven, sweeter than May. When he appeared at Puri, the holy place, my Lord and Master, his divine grace. O my Master, the evangelic angel, give us thy light, light up thy candle, struggle for existence, a human race, the only hope, his divine grace. Misled we are, all going astray. Save us, Lord, our fervent prey. Wonder thy ways to turn our face. Adore thy feet, your divine grace. Forgotten Krishna, we fallen souls, paying most heavy, the illusions told. Darkness around, all untrace, the only hope, his divine grace. Message of service thou hast brought, a healthful life, as Chaitanya wrought. Unknown to all, it's full of grace, that's your gift, your divine grace. Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved. Impersonal calamity, thou hast moved. This gives us a life anew and fresh. Worship thy feet, your divine grace. Had you not come, who had told the message of Krishna, forceful and bold? That's your right, you have the mace. Save me a fallen, your divine grace. The line of service, as drawn by you, is pleasing and healthy, like morning dew. The oldest of all, but in a new dress. Miracle done, your divine grace. Abhay Charan Das. Now this is his offering, Sri Vyasa Puja offering. Prabhupada begins this offering. Of course, he's, you have to remember, Prabhupada's 40 years old. He's a grihastha. His family, wife and children, are in Allahabad. He's living alone in Bombay for several months, regularly associating with members of the Gaudiya Math and helping them establish their center and working to expand his own chemical pharmaceutical business in Bombay, making new contacts. He's struggling. But even though he's been initiated only 3 years, from 33 to 36, his offering is so beautiful and so deep. When Prabhupada starts off, before he starts his offering, he quotes a verse from Guru Ashtakam, which of course is written in Hindi, and then the rest of the article is in English. Sakshatari tvena samasta shastra uktastata bhavyateva sadvi kintu prabhurya priya eva tasya vande guru shri charanaravindam. The spiritual master is to be honored as much as the Supreme Lord, because he is the most confidential servitor of the Lord. This is acknowledged in all revealed scriptures and followed by all authorities. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master, who is a bona fide representative of Sri Hari. Prabhupada's offering. Gentlemen, on behalf of the members of the Bombay branch of the Gaudiya Math, let me welcome you all, because you have so kindly joined us tonight in our congregational offerings of homage to the lotus feet of the world teacher, Acharya Dev, who is the founder of this Gaudiya mission and the president Acharya of the Sri Sri Vishwa Vaishnav Raja Sabha. I mean, my eternal divine Paramahamsa Paribrajakacharya Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. 62 years ago, on this auspicious day, the Acharya Dev made his appearance by the call of Thakur Bhakti Vinod at Sri Kshetra, Jagannath Dham at Puri. Gentlemen, the offerings of such a homage as has been arranged this evening to the Acharya Dev is not a sectarian concern, Because when we speak of the fundamental principle of Gurudev or Acharyadev, we speak of something that is of universal application. There does not arise any question of discriminating my guru from that of yours or of anyone else's. There is only one guru who appears in an infinity of forms to teach you, me and all others. The guru or Acharyadev, as we learn from the bona fide scriptures, delivers the message of the absolute world. I mean the transcendental abode of the absolute personality, where everything non-differentially serves the absolute truth. We have heard so many times that Mahajana Yena Kata Sapanta, this verse from Mahabharata, Van Parva, 313, number 117. Tako Pratishta Shutayo Vibhina Nasa Vashir Yasya Matam Nabinam Dharmasya Tattvam Nihitam Guhayam Mahajano Yena Kata Sapanta. Dry arguments are inconclusive. A great personality whose opinion does not differ from others is not considered a great sage. Simply by studying the Vedas, which are variegated, one cannot come to the right path by which religious principles are understood. The solid truth of religious principles is hidden in the heart of an unadulterated, self-realized person. Consequently, as the Shastras confirm, one should accept whatever progressive path the Mahajans advocate. We have hardly tried to understand the real purport of this shloka. And if we scrutinizingly study this proposition, we understand that Mahajan is one. And the royal road to the transcendental world is also one. In the Mukunda Upanishad, it says, Tad vigyartam sagarum eva vigachet samit panishotriyam brahmanishtam. To learn the transcendental subject matter, one must approach a spiritual master. In doing so, he should carry fuel to burn in sacrifice. The symptom of such a spiritual master is that he is expert in understanding the Vedic conclusion, and therefore he constantly engages in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, it has been enjoined herewith that in order to receive that transcendental knowledge, one must approach the Guru. Therefore, if the Absolute Truth is one about which we think there is no difference of opinion, the Guru also cannot be two. The Acharyadev, to whom we have assembled tonight to offer our humble homage, is not the Guru of a sectarian institution, or one out of many differing exponents of the truth. On the contrary, he is the Jagat Guru of all of us. The only difference is that some obey him wholeheartedly, while others do not obey him directly. In the Bhagavatam, 11.17.27 in Uddhav Gita, it is said, Acharya mam bijaniyan nava manyeta karichit namartya buddhya suyeta sarvadeva mayo guru. One should know the Acharya as myself and never disrespect him in any way. One should not envy him, thinking him an ordinary man, for he is representative of all the demigods. So here, the Acharya has been identified with Godhead himself. The Acharya has nothing to do with the affairs of this mundane world. The Acharya does not descend here to meddle with the affairs of temporary necessities, but he comes only for delivering the fallen and conditioned souls. The souls are entities who have come here in the material world with a motive of enjoyment by the mind and the five organs of sense perception. The Acharya appears before us to reveal the light of the Vedas and to bestow upon us the blessings of full-fledged freedom, after which we should hanker at every step of our life's journey. The transcendental knowledge, or the Vedas, were first uttered by Godhead to Brahma, the creator of this particular universe. From Brahma, the knowledge descended to Narad, from Narad to Vyas, from Vyas to Madhva, and in this process of disciplic succession, the transcendental knowledge is being transmitted by one disciple to another till it had reached Lord Gauranga, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who posed as the disciple and successor of Sri Ishwarapuri. The present Acharya Dev is the 10th disciplic representative from Sri Rupa Goswami, the original representative of this transcendental tradition in its fullness from Lord Chaitanya. The knowledge that we receive from him has no difference from that imparted by Godhead himself and the succession of the Acharyas in the preceptorial line of Brahma. We adore this auspicious day as Sri Vyas Pooj Tithi, because the Acharya is the living representative of Sri Sri Vyasadeva, the divine compiler of the Vedas, Puranas, Gita, Mahabharata, and Bhagavatam. One who interprets the divine sound, or Shabda Brahma, by his imperfect sense perception, cannot be a real spiritual guru, because in the absence of the empiricist proper disciplinary training under the bona fide Acharya, the interpreter is sure to differ from Vyasadeva, bracket, as the Maya bodies do, close bracket. Vyasadeva, the prime authority of the Vedic revelation, and therefore such irrelevant interpreter cannot be accepted as the guru or acharya, howsoever he may be equipped with all the acquirements of material knowledge. It is said in the Padma Purana, Sampradaya vihina ye mantraste nishvala mataha. If one is not actually connected with a bona fide disciplic succession, whatever mantras he chants will not bring the desired result. On the other hand, one who has received the transcendental knowledge through the bona fide preceptor in the disciplic chain by oral reception and has sincere regard for the real Acharya, must need be enlightened with the revealed knowledge of Vedas, which is permanently sealed to the cognitive approach of the empiricist. As it is said in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad, Yasya deve para bhaktir yata deve tata guru taisyaite katita yarta prakashante mahatmanaha. Shvetashvatara Upanishad 6.38. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of the Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. And gentlemen, our knowledge is so poor, our senses are so imperfect, and our sources are so limited, that it is not possible for us to have even the slightest knowledge of the absolute region. Without surrendering ourselves at the lotus feet of Sri Vyasadeva or his bona fide representative. Every moment, we are being deceived by the knowledge of our direct perception. They are all a creation or concoction of the mind, which is always deceiving, changing, and flickering. We cannot know anything of the transcendental region by means of our limited, perverted method of observation and experiment. But all of us can lend our eager ears for the oral reception of the transcendental sound transmitted from that region to this through the unadulterated medium of Sri Gurudev or Sri Vyasadeva. Therefore, gentlemen, we should surrender ourselves today to the feet of the representative of Sri Vyasadeva for the elimination of all our differences bred by our unsubmissive attitude. It is accordingly said in Sri Gita 4:34, Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshyanti te jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshanaha. To receive the transcendental knowledge, we must completely surrender ourselves to the real Acharya in a spirit of ardent inquiry and service. The actual performance of the service of the Absolute under the guidance of the Acharya is the only vehicle by which we can assimilate the transcendental knowledge. Today's meeting for offering our humble services and homage to the feet of the Acharya Dev will enable us to be favored with the capacity of assimilating the transcendental knowledge so kindly transmitted by him to all persons without distinction. Gentlemen, we are more or less all proud of our past Indian civilization, but we actually do not know the real nature of that civilization. We cannot be proud of our past material civilization, which is now 1,000 times greater than in the days gone by. It is said that we are passing through the age of darkness, or Kali Yuga. What is this darkness? The darkness cannot be due to backwardness in material knowledge, because we have now more of it than formerly. If not we ourselves, our neighbors at any rate have plenty of material knowledge. And therefore, we must conclude that the darkness of the present age is not due to a lack of material advancement, but that we have lost the clue to our spiritual advancement, which is the prime necessity of human life and the criterion of the highest type of human civilization. Throwing of bombs from aeroplanes is no advancement of civilization from the primitive, uncivilized way of dropping big stones on the heads of the enemies from the tops of the hills. Improvement of the art of killing our neighbors by inventing machine guns and by poisonous gases is certainly no advancement from primitive barbarism, priding itself on its art of killing by bows and arrows. Nor does the development of a sense of pampered selfishness prove anything more than intellectual animalism. True human civilization is very different from all these states, and therefore, in the Katha Upanishad, it is stated in 1:3:14. Otishcha jagrita prapyavaran nibodat shurasya dara nishitadurat yaya durgam patastat kavayo vedanti. Please wake up and try to understand the boon that you now have in this human form of life. The path of self-realization is very difficult, It is sharp like a razor's edge. That is the opinion of learned transcendental scholars. Thus, while others were yet in the womb of historical oblivion, the sages of India had developed a different kind of civilization which enables us to know ourselves. They had discovered that we are not at all material entities, but that we are all spiritual, permanent, non-destructible servants of the Absolute. But because we have against our better judgment chosen to completely identify ourselves with this present materialized existence, our sufferings have multiplied by subjection to the inexorable law of births and deaths, and consequent diseases and anxieties. These sufferings cannot really be mitigated by any provision of material happiness, because matter and spirit are completely different elements. It is just as if you take an aquatic animal out of water and put it on the land, supplying all manner of happiness possible on land. The deadly sufferings of the animal are not capable of being relieved at all until it is taken out of its foreign environment. Spirit and matter are completely contradictory things. All of us are spiritual entities. We cannot have perfect happiness, which is our birthright, however much we may meddle with the affairs of the mundane things, unless and until we are restored to our natural state of spiritual existence. This is the distinctive message of our ancient Indian civilization. This is the message of the Gita. This is the message of Bhagavatam, the message of Vedas and Puranas, and the message of all the real Acharyas and of our present Acharya Dev in the line of Lord Chaitanya. Gentlemen, although it is imperfect, we have been enabled by His divine grace to understand the sublime messages of our Acharya Dev. Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Paribrajak Acharya Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. Yet we must admit that we have realized definitely that the divine message from His holy lips is a congenial thing for the suffering humanity. All of us should hear Him patiently. If we listen to the transcendental sound without unnecessary opposition, He will surely have mercy upon us. The Acharya's message is to take us back to our original home and back to God. Let me repeat, therefore, that we should hear Him patiently, follow Him in the measure of our conviction, and bow down at His lotus feet for releasing us of our present causeless unwillingness for serving the Absolute and all souls. About this spiritual existence, we learn from the Gita that even after the destruction of the body, the Atma, or the soul, is not destroyed. He is always the same, always new and fresh. Fire cannot burn, water cannot dissolve, the air cannot dry up, or the sword cannot kill him. That the soul is everlasting and eternal. And this is also confirmed in the Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, chapter 84, verse 13. Yasyatma buddhi kunapetri tatuke sodi kalatra dishu bhoma idjadi yatirta buddhi salile nakarhichit janeshva vigyeshu sa eva gokaraha. This is Krishna speaking at Kurukshetra at the solar eclipse. One who identifies his self as the inert body composed of mucus, bile, and air, who assumes his wife and family are permanently his own, who thinks an earthen image or the land of his birth is worshipable, or who sees a place of pilgrimage as merely the water there, but who never identifies himself with, feels kinship with, worships, or even visits those who are wise in spiritual truth, such a person is no better than a cow or an ass. But unfortunately, in these days, we have all been turned foolish by neglect, neglecting our real comfort, and have identified with the material cage. We have identified the material cage with ourselves. We have concentrated thereby all our energies to the meaningless upkeep of the material cage for its own sake, completely neglecting the captive soul within. The cage is for the undoing of the bird, and not the bird is for the cage. The poison shirt is for the death of the wearer, who is never meant for wearing the coat. Let us therefore deeply ponder over the thing. All our activities are now turned towards the upkeep of the cage, and the most we do, we try to give some food to the mind by arts and literature, but we do not know that this mind is also material in a more subtle form. This is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. In the 7th chapter, verse 4. Pumirapo nalovayu kammano bhudirevacha ahankara iti yamme bina prakritir ashtada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Altogether, these eight comprise my separated material energies. We have scarcely tried to give any food to the soul as distinct from the body and mind, and therefore we are all committing suicide in the proper sense of the term. The message of the Acharya Dev is to give us a warning, halt, to the procedure of such wrong activities. Let us therefore bow down at his lotus feet for the unalloyed mercy and kindness he has bestowed upon us. Gentlemen, do not for a moment think that my Gurudev wants to put a complete break to the modern civilization, which is an impossible feat. But let us learn from him the art of how to make the best use of a bad bargain, and let us understand the importance of this human life, which is fit for the highest development of true consciousness. The best use of this rare human life should not be avoided. The Srimad Bhagavatam says in the 11th canto, chapter 9, verse 29. Labdva sudurlabhamidam bahusambhavante manushamartadama nityamapiha dirha turnam yateta napatet anumrityuyavan nishreyasaya vishayakalosarvatasyat. This is Yavadut Brahman instructing King Jadu. After many, many births and deaths, one achieves this rare human form of life, which, although temporary, affords one the opportunity to attain the highest perfection. Thus a sober human being should quickly endeavor for the ultimate perfection of life as long as his body, which is always subject to death, has not fallen down and died. After all, sense gratification is available even in the most abominable species of life, whereas Krishna consciousness is only possible for a human being. Let us not misuse it in the vain pursuit of material enjoyment, or in other words, for the sake only of eating, sleeping, fearing, and sensuous activities. The Acharya Dev's message is conveyed by the words of Sri Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This first wave, chapter 2, verse 255 and 256. Anasaktasya Vishayan Itarham Upayunjataha Nirbanda Krishna Sambande Yuktam Vairagyamuchate Prapanchi Kataya Buddhya Hari Sambandi Vastunaha Mumukshubi Parityago Vairagyam Fagukatyate. When one is not attached to anything, but at the same time accepts anything in relation to Krishna, one is rightly situated above possessiveness. On the other hand, one who rejects everything without knowledge of its relationship to Krishna is not as complete in its renunciation. The purport of these shlokas can only be realized by fully developing the rational portion of our life and not the animal portion. Let us try to understand from this transcendental source of knowledge as to what we are, what is this universe, and what is God, and what is our interrelation at the feet of the Acharya Dev. The message of Lord Chaitanya is a message for the living entities and a message of the living world. Lord Chaitanya did not bother himself for the upliftment of this dead world, which is suitably named as the Martyaloka, or the world where everything is destined to be dead. But Lord Chaitanya appeared before us 450 years ago to tell us something of the transcendental universe, where everything is permanent and everything is for the service of the Absolute. But recently, Lord Chaitanya has been misrepresented by some designing persons, and the highest philosophy of the Lord has been misinterpreted to be the cult of the lowest type of society. And we are glad to announce tonight that our Acharya Dev has, with his usual kindness, saved us from this horrible type of degradation. And therefore, let us bow down at his lotus feet with all humility. Gentlemen, it has been like a mania for the cultured or the uncultured society of the present day to accredit the personality of Godhead in his mere impersonal feature and to stultify the personality of Godhead as having no sense, no form, no activity, no head, no leg, and no enjoyment. This has also been the pleasure of the modern scholars due to their sheer lack of proper guidance and true introspection in the spiritual realm. All these empiricists think alike, and if all the enjoyable things should be monopolized by the human society or by a particular class only, the impersonal Godhead being a mere order supplier for their whimsical feats, we are happy that we have been relieved of this horrible type of malady by the mercy of His Divine Grace, Paramahamsa Paribrajakacharya Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, our eye-opener, our eternal father, our eternal preceptor, and our eternal guide. Let us, therefore, bow down to at His lotus feet on this auspicious day. Gentlemen, although we are like ignorant children in the knowledge of the transcendence, still, His Divine Grace, my Gurudev, has kindled a small fire within us to dissipate the invincible darkness of the empirical knowledge. And we are so much so on the safe side that no amount of philosophical argument of the empiric schools of thought can deviate us an inch from the position of our eternal dependence on the lotus feet of His Divine Grace. And we are prepared to challenge the most erudite scholars of the Mayavada school on this vital issue, that personality of Godhead and its transcendental sports in Goloka alone constitute the sublime information of the Vedas. There are explicit indications of this in the Chandogya Upanishad 8.13.1. Shamach chabalam prapadye, shabalach chamam prapadye. By rendering service to Sham, one attains his transcendental abode, which is full of spiritual bliss and astonishing variegated lilas. Through rendering service to that variegated abode, one attains Shamasundar Sri Krishna. And the word abode can also refer to Srimati Radhika. There's a second translation to this verse. Shamach Chabalam Prapadye, Shabalach Chamam Prapadye. For receiving the mercy of Krishna, I surrender unto his supreme potency, Radha. And for receiving the mercy of Krishna's potency, Radha, I surrender unto him. Because the word Shabala means Sarva Shakti, complete potencies, or Srimati Radharani. And it's said in the Rig Samhita, or the Rig Veda, Part 1, Chapter 22, Verse 20. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pashyanti Surayo Diviva Chaksuratatam Tadviprasso Vipanyavo Rigrivamsa Samindate Vishnu Yat Paramam Padam. The lotus feet of Lord Vishnu are the supreme objective of all the demigods. These lotus feet of the Lord are as enlightening as the sun in the sky. This plain thing, so vividly explained in the Gita, which is the central lesson of the Vedas, is not understood, nay, even suspected, by the most powerful scholars of the empiric schools. Herein lies the secret of the Shotavani, transcendental tradition, and herein lies the secret of Sri Vyasa Puja. We are glad to meditate on the transcendental pastimes of the Absolute Godhead. We are proud to feel that we are his eternal servitors, which makes us jubilant and dance with joy. All glory to my divine master, for it is he who has, out of his unceasing flow of mercy, stirred up within us such a movement of eternal existence. Let us bow down at his lotus feet. Gentlemen, had he not appeared before us to deliver us from the thraldom of this gross worldly delusion, surely we would have remained for lives and ages in the darkness of helpless captivity. Had he not appeared before us, we would not have been able to understand the eternal truth of the sublime teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Had he not appeared before us, we could not have been able to know the significance of the first shloka from the Brahma Samhita. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the supreme Godhead. He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. He is the origin of all, and he has no other origin, and he is the prime cause of all causes. Personally, I have no hope to have any direct service for the coming crores of births of the sojourn of my life, but I am confident that someday or other I shall be delivered from this mire of delusion in which I am at present so deeply sunk. Therefore, let me, with all my earnestness, pray at the lotus feet of my divine master, to let me suffer the lot which I am destined to do for all my past misdoings. to let me have this power of recollection that I am nothing but a tiny servant of the Almighty Absolute Godhead, realized through the unflinching mercy of my Divine Master. Let me therefore bow down at His lotus feet with all the humility at my command. Abhay Charan Das, Four Members of the Sri Gaudiya Math, Bombay, 1936.